Can we turn to 1 Kings chapter 19 for our scripture reading? If you put your finger in Psalm 102, and we will read a few verses from Psalm 102 as well. But 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll read from the first verse of the chapter. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how it slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he rose, and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the Lord of Israel for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehoah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and to find Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. And just a few verses from Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face far from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass. so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. And like a pelican in the wilderness, and like an owl in the desert, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Amen. We know the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word to our hearts. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our loving God and our Father, as we come to Thee today, we think of the psalmist here, like the pelican in the wilderness and the owl in the desert. And our God, we pray today that Thou wouldst draw near to any that feel such in this meeting. We pray, our God, that Thou wouldst minister to each one of our hearts. And Lord, that we might lift our hearts to the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Bless us, O God, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Loneliness is a very powerful emotion. It can lead to depression, illness, and even suicide. We often associate loneliness with those that are old or sick or people that are shut in. But it is common amongst all society, and actually particularly amongst the young. I read of a man who went to visit an old lady, and this was a lonely old lady. And he said this is what he found, and I quote, "She was in a rest home, the victim of a stroke, for her life had become bitter and frustrating. She complained because she felt that her friends and family had almost deserted her. Nothing that was done for her was quite right. She felt all alone." Now that's a picture that's not uncommon in this day in which we live. Even in areas of great population, there are people who feel lonely. In fact, in our cities are the places where you find the Lonely Hearts clubs or the singles bars. You don't have to be alone to be lonely. Someone said, and I quote, "Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Loneliness is feeling alone. No matter how many people are around you, it is a feeling of being disconnected, unplugged, left out, isolated." And maybe there's someone here today, and that's how you feel. Or it is how you have felt in the past. The irony in this world, which has such a growing population, is that there are so many people who feel that loneliness. There's a great emphasis in this day in many of our modern cultures upon individualism. And people are under pressure to be self-contained. Young people are thrust out. They go to work or to college. And the pressures of life leave them so that they can't get into what we would call as a good relationship. In modern culture too, in TV and in the modern, in films and books, the impression is given that the only real relationship is a romantic relationship between a boy and a girl. Now, it's not true, but we believe it. And there are many people who are seeking such a relationship, and because they can't find it, they feel that they are failures. Or that they have been in a relationship which has broken down, and they've come out of that relationship. Maybe it's been so intense that they haven't any other friends, and it has they just feel so alone. We read here in 1 Kings chapter 19 of the period of the divided kingdom. And during the reign of Ahab and his queen Jezebel, we read about the prophet of God here, Elijah. And Elijah had fought with the prophets of Baal. He had a contest just before this on the Mount Carmel with 450 false prophets of Baal. And we read that there was a great victory. But then the king and the queen entered into a desire to slay him and to wreak revenge upon him, and he had to flee for his life. And he goes eventually into a cave here and sits down, and he complains that he's alone. He says here, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now in the midst of his loneliness, God asked Elijah a question. It's a question perhaps that we could put to ourselves if we are feeling something of that loneliness. The Lord says to Elijah, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Of all people in the world, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you feeling? Why are you feeling like this? And the courageous prophet here sulks alone in a cave, feeling sorry for himself and longing to die. His mood, instead of being a mood of triumph, has turned to despair. Now, the Lord's people should not feel alone. We should not feel lonely. But how often we do. And we have to say that this is a universal problem. If you're not feeling lonely now, you will. There will be that time when you feel lonely. And the Lord says to us perhaps today, what doest thou here? Well, I want us to think about what the Bible has to say about living above loneliness. Living, in fact, without loneliness. And there are a few things in this passage of Scripture and others that we will look at that give us light and give us a solution to the problem of loneliness. Now, the first thing I want you to see is the reality of loneliness. We have looked at Elijah. We have seen him. He feels that he is alone. He's feeling this awful despair that envelops him. He says, I only am left. We also read Psalm 102. And if you look carefully at Psalm 102, you'll be able to detect the loneliness of the psalmist here. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. He feels as if the Lord has left him. He is alone. And then in verses 5 and 6 he says, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. Now the thing about a pelican is that it doesn't naturally dwell in a wilderness. A pelican is a water bird. A pelican is one that is used to large bodies of water. A pelican doesn't dwell in the wilderness. Neither does this kind of owl. Now the naturalists tell us that the owl that has been referred to there is one that is found all over the world. Anywhere except in a desert. It doesn't dwell in a desert. So what is the psalmist really saying? He says, I'm out of place. I'm not feeling at home. I'm lonely. And then he says in verse 7, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Now a sparrow normally is not alone. You see the sparrows coming in their hundreds in the evening time. But he says, I am like a lone sparrow. I'm out of place. I feel as if I am, there's nobody there. Now that's amazing. David, who was writing this, was the king. He was surrounded by courtiers all the time. He was surrounded by people who would help him. But even when he's surrounded by people, there is that feeling of loneliness. And I want you to see the state of loneliness here. As we see, it is not necessarily being alone. You can be alone without being lonely, for one thing. We've described that as being solitary. And sometimes we need to be solitary. The person who does not like to be alone at times is a person that has something to hide. The person that does not like to be alone and have God speak to him is a person that is running away from something. On the other hand, we are sometimes can be in the most crowded place and feel lonely. David was surrounded by people, but he was still alone. But at least he admitted it. There are many people who will not admit it. There are people who say to themselves, well, if I admit it, I would look like a loser. I'd look like a weakling. Or sometimes people fill their lives with other things. Perhaps it is overindulgence in TV or sports or in some cases alcohol or web surfing or I don't know, other sorts of things. We can fill our lives with other things to drown out the feeling that is there. Now, the thing that we should fill our lives is with the Lord Jesus. And we'll come to that in a moment. But in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of surrounding people, we can feel alone. Maybe you feel that today. We think of the state of loneliness. But then I want you to think about the seriousness of loneliness. The poet John Milton once said that loneliness was the first thing that God's eye named not good. And you may recall the creation story and how that everything was good and everything was very good. But then God said in Genesis 2 and 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now up until this point, all that was fashioned was good. But the Lord says it's not good for man to be alone. Man is made for fellowship. Now you remember that even here at this time, Adam had the fellowship with God. But the Lord knew that the man needed somebody to be with him at all times. Somebody that was going to be there with him. Now the Lord was with him at all times. In one sense. But he needs the fellowship of a fellow. The philosophy that makes us individualistic today is not right. That spirit has crept even in amongst God's people. You get lone rangers who go about from place to place and never settle down amongst the body of God's people. That's wrong. God has designed the church. He sets the solitary in families, he said. But there is the family of the church. And we should settle down and we should come into the fellowship and take part in the fellowship. And we should never feel lonely amongst the people of God. Loneliness is a serious thing. It's the first thing that we said that God named not good. But not only do we see the seriousness of loneliness, but I want you to think about the sadness of loneliness. Because if we have, as we have said, God has made us for fellowship, then when we don't have it, pain is involved. There are people and they're living miserable lives because of loneliness. There are people who can't eat because of loneliness. There are people who can't sleep because of loneliness. There are people perhaps who have been widowed and they're alone. There are people who've moved into a new area and haven't made friends as yet. And they can feel rejected at times. Or perhaps there are those that have in the past tried to make relationships and have been somehow rejected and they don't want to take the chance again. You know, there are so many ways in which we can be lonely. But I'll tell you this, it's painful. It's painful. That's why we as God's people should be watching out for it. That's why we should be looking after others. That's why we should try to come alongside those who have that feeling of isolation. But not only do we think about the sadness of it, but I want you to think about the scope of it. All of us will feel lonely. It may only last for a temporary period of time, but sometime along life's journey, that loneliness will come in. Even the Lord Jesus, you think of that cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And on that cross, our Saviour was alone. Now there's an encouragement for you. We have not an high priest, which is not able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord understands your loneliness. The Lord understands about your difficulties. There is no problem, no difficulty that we go through in this life apart from that which comes from sin that the Lord does not know about. He understands. He knows your need. So we think here about the reality of loneliness. But then the Bible also gives us some of the reasons for loneliness. Now there are many reasons. Loneliness can come in as a result of a lifetime of shaping our personality and our conditions. It can also come in as a result of a trauma or a difficulty that happens once, bereavement or a breakdown in relationships or something like that. There are many things that can cause loneliness. But what I want you to see is some of the things that the Bible indicates will cause us to feel lonely. One thing that will make us lonely is guilt or sin. We think of Jacob. Remember Jacob when he deceived his father and pretended to be Esau, his brother, and stole his father's blessing? Remember how he had to flee from home? And he had nowhere to lay down his head. He had just a rock for a pillow. And then later on, years later, after he'd had a family, he was coming home again. And he thought, heard that Esau, his brother, was coming with a troop. And they thought that Esau was coming to wreak revenge against him. And so he had to send his family different places in order to save at least some of them. And he was left alone. The Bible says that he was alone. On both occasions, God came and met him. Nevertheless, it was as a result of his sin that he was alone. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." But before this, he prays that the Lord would not remember the sins of his youth. And the reason why he was desolate and afflicted was because of the sins of his youth. And certainly I tell you one thing that sin will do. It'll separate us from God. It'll put us at a distance from God. We cannot enter into the presence of God in our sin. So sin or guilt will cause that isolation and that loneliness. But then there's something else that will cause loneliness. And that is when we are abandoned or rejected or feel alone when others have abandoned us. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. And here is the great apostle Paul. Look at what he says. Now he feels lonely. He says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge." Now you can almost hear in the words there how sad Paul was, how much he felt that no one stood with him. Here he is in the prison. Here he is facing almost certain death. Here he is, he had gone throughout the world ministering to people and helping people. But it says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." He goes on. He says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Now we'll come to that in a wee minute. But I want you to notice that. Here was the great comfort. Here was the great consolation. The Lord stood with him. When nobody else was there, when he felt abandoned, the Lord was there. But we can feel lonely because of the fault of others. We can be lonely when people don't do what they should. And that's sad. Perhaps the people didn't think. Maybe they felt, well, we have our own troubles to look for. We haven't the time to go to where Paul is. Maybe they just never thought that they should make the effort to go to Paul. And we can be left lonely because others do it inadvertently. And that's why I say it's easy to do. It's easy to do it in somebody else, to leave them out. There might be one that's a little bit shy or not as loud as the rest. And it's easy to leave them out. And it's good to include them. It's good to make sure we don't leave others out. And then that brings us to another reason why people are lonely. Fear. There are people who are shy and they fear being rejected. And they fear that nobody will listen to them. And so rather than face that rejection, they don't try. What's the bottom of that? That's fear. But the Bible says in 1 John 4 and 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." Now, you can be fearful in trying to initiate relationships. I can understand that. Because, of course, I have a shyness by nature. But the Bible says, fear not. Fear not. We shouldn't have that fear. We should never let fear leave us lonely. But then what about Elijah here? You see, notice Elijah, he was alone. Why was he alone? Well, he had just seen this mighty victory and he was really experiencing a letdown after the mighty victory that he had. He had been up on the mountaintop and now he came down into the valley and he's feeling low. But he had been leading the battle. He'd been right in the forefront of the battle and he felt that he was bearing the burden alone. It's often said that it's lonely at the top. And I think that's what Elijah was experiencing here. He was experiencing that loneliness. Remember Moses? Moses said of the children of Israel, or said about the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 11 and verse 14, he said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And he felt he was bearing the responsibility alone. Sometimes we feel lonely because we're in the burden and heat of the battle. Sometimes we're lonely because we want to serve the Lord and nobody will stand with us. Nobody wants to take the stand that we take. Nobody wants to be as dedicated to the Lord as we want to be. Remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15 and 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. He didn't want to be in the assembly of the mockers. But then he says this, I sat alone. He was the only one who did not want to sit in the assembly of the mockers. He was the only one who was going to take that separated stand. And because he took the separated stand, it says, I sat alone. Maybe you've experienced that loneliness in the workplace. Because you're the only Christian. You're the only one that takes a stand for Christ in the midst of the situation. Others go to their drinking dens, go to their parties, go out and socialize together in places that you wouldn't want to be in. And there's times because of that you feel alone. You're like Jeremiah. I sat alone. Well, thank God. If you're willing to take that stand for the Lord, that's going to be a blessing to you. But nevertheless, there's a loneliness there, isn't there? There's a loneliness. And sometimes, like the Lord, we have to take the lonely stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we notice the reasons for loneliness. But let's come to the good part now. Let's come to the resources for loneliness. How can we answer this? Well, you notice what Paul said when he said that everybody forsook him. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. He found the Lord to meet him at the point of his need. He found that the Lord was there when everybody else had left him. The Lord was there. We think of the psalmist in Psalm 31, verses 14 and 15. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Well, can we say that today? Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. If God is directing your life, you need no real worry, no real alarm. In Philippians 4, Paul said in verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is the Lord that comes. The Lord can give us peace. Remember what he said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 31 and 8? And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And isn't that the message that we need to get today? The Lord is with us. The Lord is there to be at our side. Remember what he said to the disciples when he was about to go to the cross and he's going to leave them? He said to them in John 14 and verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord will come to us. The Lord will come to us. What are our basic needs? One of our basic needs is someone to love. Someone to share intimately with. Well, the Lord is someone to love. The Lord is someone we can share intimately with. Oh, you say, but I want somebody real. There's your problem right there. He is real. But I want someone to come to me right now and be with me. Well, he is here now. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He is here now. He is here to meet you at the point of your need. Not only do we need someone to love, but we need someone to understand us. And again, the Lord can understand. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what's going on. He knows our going out and our coming in. We think of that verse that says, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. There's no friend like the lowly Jesus. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank God today for the mighty friend that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the resource for your loneliness. It is the Lord. Do you know Him today? Is He your friend? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I've commanded you. Have you ever done that? Have you come first of all and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? So we have a resource for loneliness. But then I want you to see the remedy for loneliness. Because like any other good friend, the Lord not only comes Himself, but He suggests good practice for us in order to overcome our loneliness. And I want you to notice what the Lord did for the prophet Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 19. You notice what the Lord prescribed for Elijah in the midst of his loneliness. The first thing He prescribed was His presence. He said to Elijah, go to the mountain and I'll meet you there. You remember the story how the Lord came. There was a great wind and there was a fire and an earthquake and the Lord was not in any of those. And then the Lord came in a still small voice. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord drew near to Elijah in the midst of his loneliness. And the very first thing, as we have said already, is that we need the Lord. David said in Psalm 142 that he was able to meet the Lord, and the Lord was able to meet his need and pour out. The Lord shared with him he was able to share his concerns with the Lord and pour out his frustrations and his discouragements. And thank God the Lord is with us even unto the end of the world. We cast our care on Him. But not only did the Lord direct Elijah into His presence, but He directed him to a life of practicality. The Lord told Elijah to get back to the work. He told him to go and anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to be king, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be prophet in his stead. You know what we need to do? We need to decide to get busy. The Lord was asking the question to Elijah here, what doest thou here, Elijah? And really the answer that Elijah had to give to the Lord is nothing. He was doing nothing. He was sitting there feeling sorry for himself. And the Lord says, no, Elijah, go back to the work. Go back to the work. And there's a work that we can do for the Lord. The Lord doesn't say, sit down and be sorry for yourself. The Lord says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Now you can go to somebody that's shut in and visit them. You can give a wee phone call to somebody that is in need. You can cheer somebody up along the way. You can do something that is profitable for somebody else. And if you go and are friendly to somebody else, you'll find after a little while, in a very short time, that you'll not be lonely anymore. You'll not be lonely anymore. And here is what the Lord says. Go and anoint Elisha. He'll be your companion now to the end of your life. Go back into the work. Go back into the work. And when you start to be busy, the loneliness starts to go. And listen, men and women, the best friend that you have and can have is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what He said to His disciples in that portion of Scripture in John 14, verse 16? He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The word for Comforter there in the Greek is parakletos. It means one, literally one who is called alongside to help. And the Lord said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and He will come alongside to help you. Do you realize the resource that you have, child of God, if we refer to the Holy Spirit reverently as a resource, more than that, of course. But in our hearts, we have the Holy Spirit, one who is called alongside to help us. Do you make use of Him? Do you have communion with Him? Do you speak to Him? Do you listen to Him? Oh, Elijah was up in the mountain and the Lord came and spoke to him. Maybe the reason why we are lonely is that our ears are not open to hear the voice of God. And then John 14 verse 18, the Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless.
I'll come to you. Now, isn't that a wonderful thought? When the coals of life have turned to ashes, the Lord says, I'll come to you. When the bottom has fallen out of your life, the Lord says, I'll come to you. When people are mocking you and when your stand for Christ is such that you can't join in, the Lord says, I'll come to you. I'll be with you. I'll be there in the midst of your sickness. I'll be there in the midst of your weariness. I'll be there in the dark days of life. I will come to you. And he does. And he does. He's the best friend that anyone can have. Is he your friend today? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Oh, do you know him today? If you don't, come and find the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's